good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thank you for finding the program, tuning in. Hope you stick around for a while. Of course, I've got an awful lot of emails lately from people who say they're leaving permanently. Can't stand this crappy-ass program anymore because I don't jump on the Barack Obama bandwagon and, you know, just say, yeehaw, hit them up, move them out. Matter of fact, I'm going to share a couple of those with you tonight. Also, we may play some music tonight. I got an email from Michael Coppy, who is a recording artist out in L.A., in North Hollywood to be exact. And he's got a song called, the subtitle is South's Gonna Rise Again. Now, I know what that immediately conjures up. When I got it, I thought, okay, what's this? Is this Lynyrd Skynyrd Revisited? No, it's not. You may find this song real interesting. You can download it for free if you want to. He's given everybody permission to get a free download. You can also get the lyric sheet if you want. Just go to Michael Coppy, K-O-P-P-Y, MichaelCoppy.com. All right. I'm watching the Democratic Convention. I don't know if you are, but I've had it on for, you know, when it's been available all day today on different, when I was available, on different various cable channels. I've got MSNBC on right now because I love to see the banter back and forth and how serious it is, how serious the banter really is. And I'm hoping that Rachel Maddow, now that she is a will be hosting her own show starting in a couple of weeks, I hope she just continues to bitch slap Pat Buchanan as often as she can. I love to see that because Buchanan, you know, he doesn't know how to respond when a woman stands up to him. And say what you will about Rachel Maddow, that's what she does. She does well. She stands up to Pat Buchanan well. Is that a reason to have your own program on MSNBC? Probably. But anyway, so I've been watching it a little bit and listening to the way the people being interviewed talk. Now, the people being interviewed for the most part are celebrities, political celebrities, you know, governors of this and secretaries of this state or the political pundits over here. I'm sorry, not political pundits. The Democrat operatives that I've listened to today. And I just think to myself, you know, it's got to be me. It's just got to be me. It can't be the rest of mainstream Democrats or the rest of the Democrats out here in the mainstream. Not that we are mainstream, but we're out here trying to live our lives and maintain allegiance to the Democratic Party. So it must be me, and I'm willing to concede that because the emails I get now are starting to increase in volume and ugliness. And I don't mean people are cussing me out. People are just, you know, wondering how I could be such a traitor to the party. You know, which I'm not, but whatever. So I listen to these interviews, and I just wish there was some way that just one of these people being interviewed would cut the crap, stop talking in Democratic Party-approved sound bites. I realize this is a staged event. I know that. I realize there's not going to be a word spoken from the podium of the Democratic Convention that will not be carefully scripted, heavily vetted, and not deviate one iota from the collective script. Nobody's going to step outside what the theme is, what they've been told to say, or what they've written and gotten approved by the Democratic Leadership Conference. I understand that. And I know that the Republican convention in St. Paul, Minnesota, coming up next month, is going to be even worse, much worse, because the Republicans all live in a filthy, dirty, stinky sewer. So when they talk, the very air becomes polluted with this kind of cloud of stench. But that's not my Democratic Party. That's the Republican Party. So You know, I don't really get the stench from the Democratic Convention. What I get is just a maddening sense of disappointment and just a wish that just one of these people, just one of them, would break away from the prepared speech, from the path that they're all on. You know, we have to show party unity here. Hillary's not showing party unity. You know, she's back in the corner going, here. Here's for your party unity. And even that is scripted. It's this roll call vote or whatever they're going to do, and they enter her name into nomination. I've heard now that they'll let the roll call go on for a while, and, you know, they're not going to go through all 50 states. At some point, Senator Clinton will stride onto the stage and take the podium. And in her inimitable way, in the Clintons' inimitable way, she will suggest that everybody support Obama. Now, as she said today, she's not going to tell people how to vote. Okay. That's fine. But everything, the only thing I'm thinking is maybe tonight when Ted Kennedy speaks. I guess he's going to speak tonight. Isn't he? Is he going to speak tonight, Kathy? I don't even know. But if he does, he's the only one who might possibly deviate from the speech, because let's face it, he is in a pretty serious battle right now with the Grim Reaper, and that sounded like crap. He's in a pretty serious battle right now with his own mortality and the fact that it may be ending soon. So in those circumstances, you know, nothing. Who is it that said nothing focuses and clarifies the mind as perfectly as a death sentence? I know I've completely mangled the quote, but perhaps Ted Kennedy will deviate from the script. I just wish somebody would, but nobody will, not really. And what we get, like I got this today from Amy Goodman's site, democracynow.com, about this huge party that AT&T. Through to support the Democrats who voted to grant the telecom companies immunity for their illegal domestic wiretapping. Can you believe the arrogance? And it's not really arrogance. It's not arrogance for AT&T to do this. This is called payback. This is the way it works now. This is how corporate America rewards those Democrats who support them and spanks those Democrats who don't. Eventually, all the Democrats in the House and the Senate will make it clear they'd rather be petted than spanked. They'd rather be rewarded than denied that vast treasure trove of funds that AT&T is willing to distribute. So Democracy Now!, Amy Goodman, who else? Glenn Greenwald was there from Salon.com. Whole bunch of folks making the rounds with their press credentials, attempting to get into some of these parties. Of course, they're denied entry because it's not for the press. Of course not. Why in the hell should it be? This is politics. This is corporate America doing what it does best. This is the Democratic Party, and like I say, within a couple of weeks, it'll be Republicans' turn, doing what it does best. They get together, and I'm not going to slip into some sexual allusion here. You use your own mind if you want to go there. But corporate America, that is completely, totally, and absolutely sponsoring what's going on in Denver, and the Democratic lawmakers who make such a big deal about staying away from the lobbyists, how can this happen? How can we all sit back and know this is going on and just say, well, yeah, but, you know, I'm a Democrat and, you know, I'm certainly not going to let McCain win, you know, and goddamn you, Malloy, for even suggesting it like you do. And, yeah, more when we come back. Flip over to MSNBC. I think they got the best coverage. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Who will save your soul?
Friday night, Truth Seekers. Time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Great article at World Socialist website, WSWS.org, written by Patrick Marty today, entitled Obama Selects Biden to Reassure the U.S. Ruling Elite. And that pretty much says it all in one sentence, one very short sentence. We will link these articles, of course, at my website sometime during the program so you can log on and read them yourself. And I'm going to get to that in just a second, but there are 12, according to Democracy Now!, according to Amy Goodman, there are more than 1,200 parties over the 5 days of the Democratic National Convention in Denver. 1,200. There's 5 days. What does that work out to? 200 and how many per day? Now, who's throwing these parties? I'm sure somewhere in there might be a union or two that puts out some Vienna sausages and some crackers and cream cheese and some Doritos and a big punch bowl and some beer and maybe some crappy-ass whiskey someplace. But, I mean, the really important parties. Who hosts the really important parties? You know as well as I do. There's no point running down the list. Think corporate America. What did I read a couple of months ago? Something like 200 or 300 corporations are involved in sponsoring the Democratic National Convention more this year than supporting the Republican Convention. Now, what does that tell you? Does that tell you that corporate America has seen the light and all of a sudden they become populist and they want people to have those rights and privileges appertaining vis-a-vis the U.S. Constitution? Is that what it means? Surely you jest. Surely you jest. It's the Democrat. It's time for the Democrats to have their shot. The Republicans have shown once again that they're incapable of governing the way corporate America wants it to govern. Corporate America really and truly did not want a war in Iraq. It really didn't. Maybe go over and assassinate somebody and do it quietly. You know, maybe destabilize their economy. Maybe corrupt their money, their monetary system, their currency. But not like this. Oh, Jesus. Corporate America hates it when everything is done right out in the open. They hate it. Because then you have stuff like, well, Kellogg, Brown, and Root. Oh, Jesus. Blackwater. Oh, you're kidding me. Oh, no. DynCorp. They did. CACI. Oh, God. They're into the assassinations again. Oh, no, no. The public assassin. Oh, Jesus. Oh, can't you people? Couldn't you Republicans keep it quiet the way you used to? But they didn't. So now corporate America is stating very clearly, time for a change. Sound familiar? It's time for a change. Change we can believe in. So in order to affect this change, the part of the game plan is to have 1,200 parties over the 5 days of the Denver Democratic National Convention. And one of the first was this AT&T party thrown at Mile High Stadium for the Democrats who voted to sanction criminality by corporate America and at the same time utterly and absolutely end constitutional protections as afforded by the Fourth Amendment. And, of course, the biggest and most obvious one to vote to support that criminality and destroy the Fourth Amendment is the candidate himself, Barack Obama. Didn't he? Oh, Malloy, you're not supposed to say that. Get with the plan, Malloy. Stop sitting there on your tacky little toy radio program that's carried by, what, two stations, maybe? Actually, it's about 25. And get with the program. Nobody gives a goddamn what you say, so stop saying it. I'm never going to listen again. Really? Yeah, you're probably right. the purpose of the party, underwritten by AT&T, is to thank those Democrats for that corrupt legislative gift that they got. Now, Barack Obama could have stopped all of this. You know that. Barack Obama could have sent word down through a Democratic National Committee or through someplace. He could have said, none of this. We're not going to have any of this. I'm sick of it. I've been out there telling people change. I mean change. He could have done that except for one thing. Barack Obama does not mean change. Barack Obama means it's time for the Democratic wing of the corporate party to take control for a while since the Republican wing has so screwed things up. Now, if you have a strong argument against what I've just said, send me an email. Prove me wrong. Or just ignore me. That would be best. Just ignore it. And there's no doubt about it. It was the myth of fingerprints. That's what that old army post was for. When the sun gets bloody and the sun goes down, ever since the watermelon, and the lights come up on the black pit town. Somebody said, what's the better thing to do? Well, it's not just me and it's not just you. This is all around the world. Over the mountain, down in the valley, lives the former talk show host. Far and wide, his name was known.
Get your range on. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. You want to listen to some Ted Kennedy? It may be one of our last remaining chances to hear Ted Kennedy in a public speaking situation.
We can meet these challenges with Barack Obama. Yes, we can, and finally, yes, we will. Barack Obama will close the book on the old politics of race, gender, and group against group, and straight against gay. And Barack Obama will be a commander-in-chief who understands that young Americans in uniform must never be committed to a mistake, but always to a mission worthy of their bravery. We are told that
all right.
Barack Obama
okay.
believes too much.
Okay, all right. I okay. That's kind of sad to see. The Kennedy family has always been a family of monumental tragedy, and each time one of them speaks, it just evokes in me, at least, that tragedy. Because I've been around through the whole Ted, Bobby, Jack generation of the Kennedys. But anyway, Ted is doing what he does best. He's a good speechifier. He really is. But I think I was saying before the break, Barack Obama could have really demonstrated the fact that he is this political agent of change that we desperately need on this planet, not just in this country, but on this planet. He could have. And why put that burden on him, right? Well, because he claimed that title when he started his campaign. He claimed that title. And so many of us were really willing to sit up on our hind legs and listen. Really listen. Really listen to what the man had to say. There were a few holes in it, but good rhetoric. Honest feelings of emotion seemed to arise inside me and a lot of people in listening to what Barack Obama was saying. So no need to recap the whole miserable 16-month-long primary season, which is in itself is insane. But as I've said before on this program, Barack Obama allowed us to do what we liberal Democrats or progressives love to do, and that is to paint pictures in the air. Only this time it was Barack Obama on whom we painted the pictures and the words. You know, oh, well, this man is finally we've got a progressive, finally we've got a liberal. And, of course, how could it be otherwise, since he was, head down, you know, how could it be otherwise because he is an African-American? How could he be otherwise? And like we've endlessly talked about on this program, you know, things may prove to be exactly what those of us who wrote on the blank slate would like to see it be once he's elected. But given political history, given political reality, given the fact that we are no longer a representative democracy, but are, in fact, a corporatocracy, the chances of that happening are practically non-existent. So, there everybody is in Denver from the Democratic power machine, the ones who really want the unwashed masses, that's me and you, to really, 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 truly, truly, truly believe in the Democratic Party. Maybe you still do. I get a lot of emails from people who make it very clear that they still do, and I'm an apostate son of a bitch for even questioning the operations of the new Democratic Party. But if you want to believe that, there's no power on earth that's going to stop you. Absolutely not. So, okay, fair is fair. It's a done deal. There they all are on television. There they all are at the Denver Convention Center making the point clearly that this is a quiet revolution. The age of Bush is over. It's time to repair all the damage and move on. And would that that were true. Would that it were true. Would that Barack Obama had been the progressive liberal Democrat that we're still waiting to see stride to the stage at some future convention. Truth is, that moment will not happen. Now, I'm willing to make a compromise because I know that at my age, certainly my children's age, they will have a chance to see how things turn out. But at my age, I will not. I'm willing to make a compromise here, that a personal compromise that just says, to hell with it. To hell with it. The American public is willing to, the voting public is willing to support this, and the American public that doesn't vote doesn't care anyway. So why, really, why come on this radio program night after night after night in this political season and rant and rave and rage and, you know, get all pissed off? And, you know, during the breaks, Kathy says, watch your blood pressure. You know, why? It's really a fool's errand. It really is. I feel like Sancho Panza. It's just incredibly stupid thing to do. Why not just, as I've suggested about several other circumstances in our political scene, why not just get my own big box of popcorn, a bowl of popcorn, and just kick back and watch it develop? You know, just stop all the screaming and yelling. Absolutely bring it to a halt. Because this little radio program, and your opinion, my opinion, is not going to change a damn thing. It's beyond that. It's way beyond that. Way beyond that. Now, someday, in that great getting up morning, we may, progressives and liberals and socialists, may finally do something by starting at the ground level, the thing I've always railed against Ralph Nader for not doing, starting at the ground level, electing school board members and electing county commissioners and electing state legislators and state court judges and you know, who truly believe in the American dream. But that's a long, drawn-out process. That's a 30, 40-year process. And we are incapable now of even thinking 30 or 40 years in the future, much less actually working toward an end result 30 or 40 years in the future. Corporate America is incapable of doing that. That's how corporate America used to work, but not any longer. Everything is in the now, right now. Do it now, do it now, or it's not going to get done. And that's one of the reasons the total corruption of our system has occurred. Totally, completely. There's no long-term thinking anymore. Corporate America's attitude is, show me a profit by next quarter, or we'll be punished by the stockholders. And if we're punished by the stockholders, then our corporate executives will still make their tens of millions of dollars, but, you know, it'll look tacky. And besides, you know, we might get caught. So everything now is geared to the short-term gain. And if there's not going to be a short-term gain, then write it off. Forget about it. Hide it. Don't pay attention to it. Corporate media, 24-hour, if that. They're more like 6-hour news cycles now. So any thought of long-term planning for revolutionary change, that, first of all, it's a contradiction in terms when you really get down right down to it. Any long-term ideas are kind of, what would be a good phrase? Off the table. That might work. Off the table. The Democratic Party leadership and corporate America have come together and have shown us, finally, for once and for all, completely, truly, deeply, that this country is going to go in a certain direction, whether you and I like it or not, and it is not going to be a liberal or a progressive direction. It will not. Now, I can continue to hold out hope, just very quietly think to myself, well, maybe there might be a little, you know, like Leonard Cohen said, there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. We'll see. But as I look at those who've surrounded Barack Obama, as I look at his choice for a vice president, someone who was chosen simply to calm the ruling elite down in this country, to let them know, look, it's all rhetoric for Joe Sixpack and his old lady. We're not, the Democrat Joe Sixpack and his, we're not about change. We're not about the time is right. We're not about turning this country around. We're not about that at all. What we're about, the Democrat Party leadership is saying, what we're about is just maintaining the status quo. We don't want blood in the streets. We're content with corporate America. I mean, that's how it works here. The founding fathers can kiss our collective asses, even though they warned us about this. Hey, that was then. This is now. So Joe Biden? A little bit on Joe Biden when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is NOVAM. With a joyless heart, then sometimes again it seems all I have is worth. Then you finally see my other side.
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
10 before the hour, the Democratic National Convention in full swing out in Denver. And I just can't seem to get with the program. Now, you know, I'm certainly willing to admit, matter of fact, not willing to admit, eager to admit that, you know, it's me. It's not the Democratic Party. It's me. It's absolutely me. The Democratic Party, as it is currently constituted and funded and underwritten, is doing just fine. Thank you very much. So, you know, the compromise that I've decided I probably should make is just, you know, stop it, Malloy. You know, devote the program to slicing and dicing the Republicans and John McCain, which is easy work. And just be quiet about the Democrats. Just be quiet. Just be quiet. Because in the first place, it pisses off your basic audience out there in for your program alone. And secondly, you're not going to have any effect whatsoever on changing anything. Nobody is. It's a done deal. This is just the way it is. This is the Democratic Party. This is it. If there is a grassroots movement put together by people who are in their 20s right now, when those people are in their 50s and 60s, maybe there will be some change, but not until. So there you go. Now, as far as Joe Biden, Patrick Martin writing it. Oh, and by the way, I said democracynow.com. I'm sorry, democracynow.org, of course. At WSWS.org, which stands for WorldSocialistWebsite.org, Patrick Martin has a lengthy piece about why Barack Obama selected Biden. And he says, just a couple little quotes here, Barack Obama, the supposed protagonist of change, has picked as his running mate a fixture of the Washington establishment, a six-term U.S. senator who is a proven defender of American imperialism in the interests of big business. Yeah, that's true. Martin goes on to say, long gone are the days when the selection of a vice presidential candidate by one of the two major big business parties involved a complex balancing act between various institutional forces. In the Democratic Party, this would have involved consultations with trade union officials, civil rights organizations, congressional leaders, and the heads of particularly powerful state and urban political machines. Today, neither party has any substantial popular base. In both parties, there is only one true so-called constituency, and that is the financial aristocracy that dominates economic and political life and controls the mass media, and whose interests determine government policy, both foreign and domestic. Yeah, okay. And then Martin writes, Obama has selected Biden to provide reassurance that whatever populist rhetoric may be employed for electoral purposes in the fall campaign, the wealth and privileges of the ruling elite and the geostrategic aims of U.S. imperialism will be the single-minded concerns of a Democratic administration. Now, the article is lengthy, and like I said, you can we'll put a link up for you. But isn't that so true? So, you know, rather than sit around and whine and, you know, oh, woe is us. You know, let's be like the crowd in Cabaret. Remember that film? Be like the crowd in Cabaret. And, you know, just party. That's what so many lobbyists who will be influencing the Democratic senators and representatives in Washington during the Obama administration are doing tonight. That's what so many delegates who have gotten the invitations to these parties, that's what they're doing. Partying. Why not? Somebody else is paying for it, right? Isn't that the best kind of party to go to, where the booze flows, and it's good booze, top shelf. And the food is good, catered. And the entertainment is great. Man, look at this. Top-notch rock stars. Son of a bitch. Let's party hardy. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. Because after all, it's just a party. Come on, Malloy, lighten up. It's just a party. These are just people think they're going to influence the votes of the Democratic senators and representatives. They just think that. They're not going to. You know why? Because we're going to hold these people's feet to the fire, these representatives and senators, when they get elected. You bet your ass. We're going to, and Barack Obama, we're just going to hold his feet to the fire. And so, you know, let's party hardy. You know, it's just a game. It's just, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And, of course, the corporations who are putting on these parties, they will agree with you. They'll tell you, hey, come on. Come on, lighten up, for Christ's sake. It's a party, okay? It's a Democratic convention. We're determining the future direction of America tonight, over the next couple, three, four nights. Come on. You've heard our candidate, or I'm sorry, your candidate, or the candidate. Sorry there. You've heard the candidate. Change! Hell yeah, we all love change. It's all about change. We're here to change. Yes, sir. In the meantime, while we're working on that change, why don't y'all come on in? Come on in. There's the bar. Over there is the food. And some of our delightful hostesses will introduce themselves and take you around so you can meet other folks who are like-minded, who are good Democrats. Now, we realize the political process is in full flower here. We realize that's what this convention's all about. We know. Come on. God damn, one of our corporations is broadcasting this wall-to-wall. Another one of our corporations is also broadcasting it wall-to-wall. Our two most favorite, our third one, we got three of them. So we know how important this is for you Democrats. So come on, we're just talking about, you know, a little party. Don't worry about it. It's time to take a break. You know, it's been rough. Chinese whipped our ass over there in China and the Olympics and... You know, this stupid-ass war is just driving us all crazy. It's time for a break. Come on in. Sit down. Have a drink. Don't sit too long. Get up and dance. Come on. Let's party. Come on. Come on. Come on. Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. The Democratic National Convention is in full swing in Denver, and that's where we've been focused here for the past hour. We're going to take some phone calls here in a moment. And a little bit later in the program, we're going to have a musical interlude. I want you to hear something. It is a new CD. It's out. It's from an album. It's called One Great Morning, and the subtitle is The South's Gonna Rise Again. Now, I want you to hear it because the lyrics are great. The music is great. It was written by Michael Coppy, K-O-P-P-Y, and he is. You can get the download free. You can get the lyrics free. Just go to his website, Michael Coppy, with a K, .com. We get a lot of good music that's sent into us by an awful lot of people. Musicians who listen to this program, it's a pretty unending stream of music. I wish that we could play all of it. I really do. Sometimes I can't even acknowledge that I received it, but I did get it, and eventually we get around to it, and eventually sometimes we even get it on the program. And this is one of those cuts I want you to hear. You may like it. You may say, I hate that Southern music. If that's the case, that's okay. These musicians, I think they all live in West Hollywood, so whatever. But go to Michael Coppy with a K, K-O-P-P-Y, michaelcoppy.com. Take a look. You can download it for free if you want a preview. A couple of emails here, and then to your phone calls. Mike, one look at this is from Roz. Mike, one look at all those corporate logos around the Democratic Convention Hall, and it's plain to see to whom Obama belongs. Why can't people see through him? And as for Biden, is he the real deal? McCain is a bit of a mystery to me, in as much as he is slowly going nuts. And it's a toss-up as to when he will explode. Why, oh, why can't these people at the convention wake up? They're partying in a stupefied haze, and once they go home, the corporations will take over. The media are small, petty, sniping gossipers, deliberately not asking about the issues, just pointing out the foibles of the parties running, mostly the Democrats. Sorry to say this, but the U.S. elections have sunk to the lowest point possible, and just watching this orgy of lies and excesses, I'm left disgusted and slightly nauseated. They have no shame, and apparently all dignity has fled from the office of the presidency. It's up for sale to the highest bidder. The whole process reminds me of a slightly mad Cirque du Soleil. Things don't bode well for the U.S., Mike. You have a choice between the devil and the deep blue sea. Well, you know what I mean. Regards, Roz. Yeah. And then there's this one. This is from Janelle in Tucson. Roz is in Canada. Janelle in Tucson writes, Mike and Kathy, we were so upset when Air America Radio fired you in the summer of 2006. My daughter called, literally crying. You were part of our family. We called and wrote so many letters. Nothing worked. We were thrilled when this radio station in Phoenix gave you another chance. Okay. It was great to hear how Molly, Kathy, and you were doing again. It was great to have you back. Time changes everything. In November, the gift membership I bought for four people around the country, Tucson, Cleveland, Lakeland, Florida, and Portland, Oregon, will not be renewed. Each one has told me not to waste my money. Each one of them has stopped listening to you. I'm glad you will not be hurt financially when Nova M cancels your show. It's obvious you are on the John McCain payroll. Goodbye, Malloy family. Janelle in Tucson, Arizona. Oh, God. This is from Adam. Adam writes, Mike, we don't have the luxury of dreaming the third-party dream at this moment. If Obama is not elected, more people will die. This is from Myrtle in Oregon City, Oregon. Mike, I'm voting my conscience. I'm voting for Nader again, even though he won't win. Maybe McCain will. Where are all the real Democrats? That is what this country needs, a real Democratic Party. And it goes on. I know how easy it is to withhold financial support to someone you disagree with, and I think that's probably a good idea. Why support someone you don't agree with? Well, there's a lot of reasons to do that, but I understand. I really do. That's addressed to Janelle, who is taking herself and four subscribers with her. Okay, Janelle. This is from Jerry. Mike, I'm an American living in Italy, so I catch you online. I agree with most of what you have to say. I'd like to comment on your last show, where you were lamenting the choice between corporatist Obama and corporatist McCain, and suggesting that you/we might want to vote what we really believe in. I think the issue can be clarified a bit. We don't need to think in terms of institutions. Ours is a two-party system, or a one-party system with two wings. So before we get too crazy about spineless Democrats, we need to recognize that until we have a multi-party system, or reforms regarding elections generally, where you can vote for second choices, we will be stuck with the lesser of the two evils. So the point is, we need to talk institutions. Remember that Madison, following the Constitutional Convention of 1789, boasted that the virtue of the Constitution was that it appears to give a voice to the public when it really doesn't. And where the, as he put it, opulent few will be protected from the, as he put it, overbearing and interested majority. I think it's also important to think that whoever is elected president of the empire will have a short leash. I enjoy your shows, Jerry. Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate it. What else we got? Oh, yeah, from the Carpetbagger Report, Steve Bannon writes about how McCain, have you noticed everything that McCain is challenged on now, he falls back on the prisoner of war excuse, or his surrogates do, just like Giuliani used to put together a noun, a verb, and 9/11. Now, excuse me, McCain puts together a noun, a verb, and POW. Steve Benson writes, the initial response from the McCain campaign on the senator's confusion about how many homes he owns is pretty weak. The McCain gang, a couple hours after it came out, the McCain gang went with the one response that applies to every question. Quote, the McCain campaign is road testing a new argument, responding to Obama's criticisms of his number of houses gaffe, an approach the McCain camp has never tried before. The houses gaffe doesn't matter because he was a POW! McCain's spokesman Brian Rogers told the Washington Post, quote, this is a guy who lived in one house for 5.5 years in prison, end quote. Steve writes, I see. Okay. When the Reverend Kirby John Caldwell, a close Bush ally, publicly questioned McCain's marital infidelities, the McCain campaign responded by highlighting McCain's background as a prisoner of war. When Democrats attacked McCain's health care plan in May, McCain responded by noting his background is a prisoner of war. Asked by a local reporter about the first thing that comes to his mind when he thinks of Pittsburgh, McCain responded by talking about his background as a prisoner of war. Accused of possibly having heard the questions in advance of Rick Warren's recent candidate forum, the McCain campaign responded by highlighting McCain's background as a prisoner of war. There seems to be a pattern here. Yeah, this is a brilliant, this is a Karl Rove tactic, you see. We all have so much ignorance and confusion and zero knowledge about the Vietnam War. I mean, after all, my God, it was 40 years ago. Good Lord. In other words, when the Vietnam War was occurring, if you went back 40 years from the Vietnam War, you would have been in a period of American history prior to World War I. So we have that same distance from Vietnam War now as the Vietnam protesters had then from 1908. So that's one of the reasons, you see, that nobody knew. What? He was a prisoner of war? Where? In Vietnam? What? They closed down a sewing factory and put him in there? What are you talking about? I remember that. Yeah, there's monument, memorial, something in D.C., right? Yeah. I remember. Vietnam War. Okay. So anything that John McCain is accused of, or any position about which it's revealed that he's a chump and a jerk and a liar, it's going to be the same thing. Get used to it. Well, my friends, I didn't think about that stuff when I was a prisoner of war.
We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart. Rush the shores up, get your money's worth.
Faster than a flying monkey. More powerful than a special prosecutor, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 21 past the hour. And have you noticed that I guess the thing that is irritating to the greatest degree is how the how corporate America, every 4 years or every 8 years, depending, when whatever party they have put in control, when that party starts to get a little bit too greedy or a little bit too incompetent or is not responding properly to what corporate America wanted, they're replaced. And all of a sudden, there is this upsurge. Where does the upsurge come from? Of absolute giddy support. Back in the 90s, remember, it's Republicans and their contract with America. And enough Americans got on board to completely switch the balance of power. Prior to that, of course, back in the 80s, I guess it was Republicans, too, at least as far as the White House was concerned. In the 70s, it was the Democrats' turn, right? After Nixon, there was a surge of the Democratic Party. And it just goes on and on. Now, somebody in the audience may say, "Well, Malloy, you're so wrong. It's not the corporations. It's us. We get tired of these people." Really? Is that what it is? Then what you're saying is, when we force one party out of control and put another party in control, we are getting phenomenal change that results in well-being for us, the citizens of the country. Is that what you're saying? Think before you answer. Huh? Huh? Well, it doesn't seem to me that that's the case at all. I mean, maybe someone can explain to me, because I'm not the brightest man on radio by any means, but maybe someone can explain to me the incredible changes that have occurred for us average Americans since, pick a time, since Nixon resigned. Now, if you're going to talk about money and this and that, factor in inflation, if you're going to talk about global you better not talk about global prestige. But if you're going to talk about jobs or income or health or life expectancy or the life expectancy of our babies, if you're going to talk about any of that, can someone please show me, please, I really want to see this. It's almost like I need to see this. Somebody, please show me how. Okay? I'm wide open here. How in the past? Now, let's go back further. Let's go back to the assassination of John Kennedy. Let's go back to 1963. Okay? Come on. Somebody. That's almost a half a century. Somebody show me just the curves, the lines, the bar graphs, or the intersecting this, and show me how the Democrats or the Republicans, either party, has created a better life in their leadership for, you know, lettuce. Isn't that what a political party is supposed to do? Isn't that what the leaders of the party, isn't that what the Congress is supposed to do, or the president or something? Somebody? I mean, I realize we're all individual leaders. We don't need leaders. Yes, we do. So somebody show me how. Has the business community led us to the promised land, the political establishment, our sociologists, our medical crew? Show me. Or has it just been switching? All right, let's give this party a shot. Okay, that's enough. Now bring the other party in. Okay, let's everybody, let's talk about change. Let's talk about tax relief. Let's talk about the corruption of the Democrats. Let's talk about the corruption of the Republicans. Back and forth. Now, the proof of this may be in the fact that the Congress, that's the branch of government, for those of you who don't know, that really is supposed to have the power. That the Congress, the popularity rating of the Congress is about half of what it is for George W. Bush, without argument, the worst president in the history of this republic. And yet the approval rating of the Congress is half of that. 80% of Americans say we're going in the, quote, wrong direction, end quote. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean that since 80% of us think we're going in the wrong direction, that it's time to change direction? Wouldn't you think that would be what it means? Unless we're all insane. Isn't that when we're going the wrong direction? Okay, let's keep going. No, let's go the other way. Okay, let's go. If it's let's go the other way, then why have we decided to continue to go the same way? Somebody, please explain this to me. I am a complete dumbass. I am totally ignorant. I don't get it. Tell me how Obama and Biden or Hillary and whoever or whatever corporate America decides the Democrat direction should be this time around. How is that? Where? Show me, please. Okay, just one example. One example. Any example. I'm waiting. Send it to Mike at MikeMalloy.com. Please. Your phone calls when we come back.
And the moon rose over an open field. Kathy, I'm lost, I said, though I knew she was sleeping. I'm empty and aching and I don't know. Cause I'm the New Jersey Turnpike, they've all come.
gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour, we will try to have a little Michelle Obama speaking for you here in a second. This is reported by the Xinhua news agency, Chinese news agency. U.S. Democratic presidential hopeful Barack Obama called Monday for enhancing diplomatic pressure on Iran before Israel feels, quote, cornered, end quote. He was responded to a reporter's question about whether Israel will bomb Iran's nuclear site sometime in the year during a campaign stop in Iowa today. Without a direct answer, Obama said he is committed to, quote, tightening the screws on Iran, end quote, once elected, tightening the screws diplomatically on Iran, once elected as president, before Israel feels that, quote, its back is against the wall, end quote. He acknowledged the Israeli position of not allowing Iran to have nukes. Both Obama and his Republican opponent are favoring intensifying pressure on Iran, but Obama also wants to increase bilateral contacts. McCain opposed such contacts, saying the best way to deal with the Iran problem is to work with U.S. allies. So, calling for more pressure on Iran, as Barack Obama is doing, because Israel feels cornered. I don't know. Is that a good way to make a U.S. foreign policy that may involve more death and destruction and a possible nuclear exchange in the Middle East? Israel feels cornered. Okay. All right. Is Mrs. Obama coming out? I think she is. Let us let's take some of this live. You want to? All right. Here we go. Yeah, we're including the applause just so you can get a sense of the absolute enthusiasm. All right? Okay, here we go.
For president is nothing compared to that first game of basketball with my brother Craig. I can't tell you how much it means to have Craig and my mom here tonight. Like Craig, I can feel my dad looking down on us, just as I've felt his presence in every grace-filled moment of my life. And at 6'6", I've often felt like Craig was looking down on me too, literally. But the truth is, both when we were kids and today, Craig wasn't looking down on me. He was watching over me. And he has been there for me every step of the way since that clear day in February, 19 months ago, when with little more than our faith in each other and a hunger for change, we joined my husband, Barack Obama, on the improbable journey that has led us to this moment. But each of us comes here also by way of our own improbable journey. I come here tonight as a sister, blessed with a brother who is my mentor, my protector, and my lifelong friend. And I come here as a wife who loves my husband and believes he will be an extraordinary president. And I come here as a mom whose girls are the heart of my heart and the center of my world. They're the first things I think about when I wake up in the morning and the last thing I think about before I go to bed at night. Their future and all our children's future is my stake in this election. And I come here as a daughter raised on the south side of Chicago by a father who was a blue-collar city worker and a mother who stayed at home with my brother and me. My mother's love has always been a sustaining force for our family. And one of my greatest joys is seeing her integrity, her compassion, her intelligence reflected in my daughters. My dad was our rock. And although he was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in his early 30s, he was our provider. He was our champion, our hero. But as he got sicker, it got harder for him to walk. It took him longer to get dressed in the morning. You know, but if he was in pain, he never let on. He never stopped smiling and laughing, even while struggling to button his shirt, even while using two canes to get himself across the room to give my mom a kiss. He just woke up a little earlier, and he worked a little harder. He and my mom poured everything they had into me and Craig. It was the greatest gift a child could receive. Never doubting for a single minute that you're loved and cherished and have a place in this world. And thanks to their faith and their hard work, we both were able to go to college. So I know firsthand from their lives and mine that the American dream endures. And you know, what struck me when I first met Barack was that even though he had this funny name, and even though he had grown up all the way across the continent in Hawaii, his family was so much like mine. He was raised by grandparents who were working class folks just like my parents, and by a single mother who struggled to pay the bills just like we did. And like my family, they scrimped and saved so that he could have opportunities that they never had for themselves. And Barack and I were raised with so many of the same values. Like, you work hard for what you want in life. That your word is your bond, that you do what you say you're going to do. That you treat people with dignity and respect, even if you don't know them, and even if you don't agree with them. And Barack and I set out to build lives guided by these values and to pass them on to the next generation, because we want our children and all children in this nation to know that the only limit to the height of your achievements is the reach of your dreams and your willingness to work hard for them. And as our friendship grew, and I learned more about Barack, he introduced me to the work that he'd done when he first moved to Chicago after college. You see, instead of going to Wall Street, Barack went to work in neighborhoods that had been devastated by the closing of steel plants. Jobs dried up. And Barack was invited back to speak to people from those neighborhoods about how to rebuild their community. And the people gathered there together that day were ordinary folks doing the best they could to build a good life. See, they were parents trying to get by from paycheck to paycheck. Grandparents trying to get it together on a fixed income. Men frustrated that they couldn't support their families after jobs had disappeared. You see, those folks weren't asking for a handout or a shortcut. See, they were ready to work. They wanted to contribute. They believed, like you and I believe, that America should be a place where you can make it if you try. And Barack stood up that day.
It's a very good speech. It's an historic moment, no question, seeing an African American woman standing at the Democratic National Convention giving a speech, knowing that her husband is a nominee for a major political party. What a moment of change. That is change, isn't it? And the anecdotal presentation is wonderful. I love to listen to that sort of stuff, don't you? I really do. And relate it to my own life. Of course, I was brought up in a much different way, in a much different time from Michelle Obama. And I had a lot of protective coverings around me that didn't exist for Michelle Obama or her husband, for that matter. And I guess this is the reason that it is so frustrating to me to know that while my heart and soul wants to align with Barack and Michelle Obama, and on some level I probably do, on a political level, on a level of governing the country, of really bringing about change, I look at Barack Obama's approach. I look at his statements from 16 months ago, 12 months ago, 8 months ago, last month, last week. And I see this evolution, devolution, if to be more precise, from somebody that, my mistake, I thought was that person who is finally going to do those things that I've been hoping that some leader in this country would do for the past 45 years. It is disappointing, especially when the narrative is this powerful. And if the Obamas have anything, and they do, it's a powerful narrative. Your phone calls when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
It's about 9 before the hour. I think at the bottom of the next hour I'm going to play this music for you. The South's Going to Rise Again by Michael Coppy, K-O-P-P-Y. Go to his website if you want an advanced copy. Michael, that's kind of funny. If you want an advanced copy of Coppy, michaelcoppy.com. It's spelled K-O-P-P-Y.com. To your phone calls. Let's start with Sanchez, who's calling from Los Angeles, listening on KTLK. Hey, Sanchez.
From the West Coast to the East Coast, as much love as platonically as possible to you, sir.
Thanks, Sanchez.
First of all, I want to agree with, I forget the name of the girl because I forgot to write down her name, that sent you the email that was talking about the issue of the corporate sponsorship. While I've been on hold, I went over to take a look at the little tote bag that, you know, the Democratic Convention is giving, and there's the AT&T logo prominently figured on the bag.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It kind of looks like, I don't think you have Trader Joe's in Atlanta, do you?
Yeah.
It kind of looks like one of the bags Trader Joe's would sell, the recyclable tote bag type thing. It's black.
Sure.
And yeah, so it looks like that, and I don't even recall which one it is. I'm barely paying attention to what's going on right now with the convention because I'm more concerned with other things right now. But one of the hosts, I don't even remember which one it was talking about the party that happened at Invesco Field and, oh, what a great party it was, you know, free hot dogs and beer kind of a thing, but never bothered to bring up the fact of the corporate sponsorship. And a lot of people, for example, have a problem with Barack Obama, like, voting for the FISA bill, yet they're happy, completely happy to walk around the floor with their little AT&T tote bags. So that by itself just makes me scratch my head.
Isn't that maddening? I mean, doesn't that require some sort of powerful cognitive dissonance that is provided gratis by the corporate media. They'll provide enough of that craziness to make your brain feel like it's made out of Nutty Putty,
yeah.
to the point where you can see what you're seeing and have it kind of go you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do understand. Look, man, you call your audience truth seekers, and I hold that very dear to heart. You know, I wouldn't be investing my Nova M dollars to you if I were not a truth seeker here. And you always remind me, when you get into these kind of moods, you remind me of Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men. When you're spouting out the truth like the way you do, it's just like Jack Nicholson saying, you can't handle the truth. And that's why a lot of people are getting upset. You know, yeah. I've been using this weird analogy. It's like a calculator, and the truth is right in front of you on all the little number pads. You keep hitting all these number pads, but everybody's afraid to total it up because the truth hurts in this case right now. I mean, I don't know. It's just what was raging wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the neocon fascists are taking over everything. Are the Democrats even going to, like, raise the issue of the neocons and the foreign agents that are in the McCain campaign party right now? I mean, there's so many things teetering on the edge here, and I have not heard these issues being raised at all. Oh, geez, I'm sorry. There's somebody calling in. I'm not going to let that go, but my apologies if the line dropped off here.
No problem.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm just concerned about that, and I just want to remind you again, I'm sorry, they're beeping in again. I just want to remind you again that I am an independent progressive, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the concerns is that we're not hearing enough about progressive issues. It's the Democratic's turn to have a party. Yes, of course, they've worked hard. They're Democrats. You know, they've got their nominee. They're entitled to a party. But me, as a progressive, as a person staunchly opposed to corporate fascism, to the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and now the development of the Cold World, the Cold War, those are my concerns here, and those rise above Democratic or Republican issues.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about those things, instead of saying, you go, girl, I say, you go, Malloy. You do your job, and don't worry about these people, man, okay? Like Jack Nicholson says, you can't handle the truth, and if that's the case, so be it. But you're there for people like me. You're there for people.
But you know, a lot of times what I'm talking about when I talk about not handling the truth, Sanchez, I'm talking about me. I can't handle the truth because the truth that I see is what has happened to the Democratic Party, what has happened to the political system in America. I can't get my mind around the fact that we have become a corporatocracy,
mm-hmm.
that corporate America now runs the entire shebang,
mm-hmm.
and the rest of us out here who are not part of that 1% elite and the governing corporations, our job is to pretend that everything's okay if you're a Republican. That's a Republican script. The Democrat script is to pretend like change is on the way. We're all going to get home before dark falls, and there's going to be a nice pot of soup and a warm fire in the fireplace waiting for us. And all we have to do is just keep on this path, down this path. It's going to take us home. Actually, what's at the end of the path are great, big, vicious vampires who are ready to suck our blood out.
Mm.
But what I talk about, you know, I try to keep this on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm talking about my own.
Yes, I hear the music. Just thank you for mentioning the name Ralph Nader. Thank you so much for at least keeping him in the conversation. Okay,
all right,
now?
Sanchez, I got to go. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Take care. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
It's the music to the story in your eyes. It's been shining down upon me now. In your life. Listen to the tide slowly turning.
Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program on Nova M Radio on the opening night of the Democratic Convention in Denver. And that's what we've been talking about. Email here from Richard in Salem, Mass, who mentioned Sirius Left, one of the outlets for this program, but the same could be said, what I'm going to share with you, he wrote in his email, of any radio station, I guess. He writes, "Hi, Mike. While Sirius Left covers the corporate-owned Democratic Party in the convention hall, there are people in the streets trying to hold the Democrats accountable to the promises they have made but are unfulfilled. My 26-year-old daughter, who went to Denver to peacefully demonstrate about her concerns, is now surrounded by police who are using tear gas. Why isn't the Left radio station covering the real story in the streets instead of the infomercial inside?" I obviously would like to be able to answer that, Richard, but I can't. And corporate America, the corporate media, it doesn't make any difference who the corporate media are. They are going to cover what they're supposed to cover, which is what's going on inside. I've seen a little bit of video so far today from demonstrations out in the streets. I know that the demonstrators are being referred to as anarchists, no matter what it is that they are demonstrating for or against. Seeing the lack of demonstrations, of course, I think answers one of the questions I've had for a long time now. Why are there not more people in the streets demonstrating against, protesting against what this corporatocracy is doing to us? I think the answer is very clear. People are afraid to even get that well known. You know, the anonymity that we all thought we have, you know, once you show up on a camera, it's just like the Soviet Union. It's just like communist China. Back in the day when there were demonstrations and the secret police of whatever country, I mentioned those two because they're the most recognizable. The countries that use secret police that film or videotape or digitally record the demonstrators, the close-ups, the faces. And I think people in this country now, since the attack on this country that was engineered by the Bush crime family and this move in this country to an absolute complete lockdown, a police state, a possible declaration of martial law anytime, anywhere, when we least expect it, whatever. And maybe that's the reason. Because when people do assemble to constitutionally air their grievances, now you're confronted with a totally militarized police department, if not the military itself. If you stray from your pen, your little First Amendment zone, when this country used to be, the entire country was the First Amendment zone at one time, not any longer. That's been made very clear. So maybe that's the answer to that weird question I've had for months and months and months. Why do we not take to the streets by the millions? Because we're afraid individually. We're afraid. You know, come on, Mike. I'm barely making ends meet now. I can't do something like that and get detained. What happens to my family? What happens if my employer finds out about it? And that's very true. That's very true. I refuse to even mildly disdain the attitudes any longer of people who won't go to the streets. Mm-mm. Can't do that. Can't do it anymore. Unless everyone did it, and everyone's not going to. Let's go to your phone calls. Len is calling from New York, listening on the internet. Len, welcome to the program.
Hi, I feel so bad for you. Sounds so tortured.
not tortured. You know, disappointed, massively disappointed, but not tortured. No,
you were just the way you were talking. It sounded like they should change that song from "Walking on Sunshine" to "Walking on Eggshells."
Well, okay. You know, I know where I live, Len. You know, I know what my government's about. I know what's, you know, I really do. So not tortured.
You know, I was listening to you before about reading that thing about Biden, and I felt compelled to call because, you know, I for a long time thought he was the best choice for president. And, you know, it's, you know, at the same time, you know, there is one element of his voting record, and it's not about the war, because he's justified that as well as anyone in his position could. But the voting for the bankruptcy bill,
right?
You know, because he lives in the state of Delaware, it's sort of, you know, right. It's sort of like I can do anything, I can pretty much say anything I want, but you know, it's not a question of whether or not I'm going to get money for my next election year. It's whether or not 1,700 opponents are going to get it instead, so they get rid of me if I vote the wrong way.
Uh-huh.
And you know,
but that's you're making my argument. It's not the people that would send Biden, at least in his mind, back to the Senate for voting to protect them against these predatory lending agencies like MBMA, whatever the hell it is.
Right.
But his fear is that the very corporations that he should be kicking in the ass will then provide enough funding to defeat him. What happened to Biden's belief that as long as he's a good senator and protects his constituents, that he will get voted back in? You see, it's gone. He's a corporate thug and a shill, and it is in a way not surprising to me that Barack Obama had to pick him.
I think he picked him because he thought he was the best choice too.
Yeah, the best choice to what? The best choice to mollify corporate America. Barack Obama went way out there on the left during the campaign. He went way, or the primary campaign, way out on the left. All right, if he wants to win, and that means get the support of corporate America, he's got to do two things. First of all, he's got to humanize himself, and that's what Michelle Obama did tonight, partly, to the electorate. But more importantly, he's got to assure the corporate interests who are about American empire and about continuing the game, no matter who's in power, he's got to reassure them. How does he do that? You bring on Joe Biden.
Joe Biden is not any kind of demon. Overall, he's actual. You know, like he's worked on violence against women. He's worked on a lot of bills. But I think I wanted to make one other point.
Let me interrupt. Violence against women. Anybody can get behind that. Newt Gingrich can get behind that. That doesn't make him anything other than a corporate thug who will vote against violence against women. So what? He's still, that doesn't change the fact that he also voted, along with all the Republicans and I think 15 other Democrats, to absolutely screw the American wage earner who has gotten himself or herself into a horrible mess, and bankruptcy is no longer an option. It is for corporate America. They didn't touch Chapter 11. They touched Chapter 13 and Chapter 7, which is where you and I would go if we needed protection. I'm sorry, Len.
He also tried to push through a very significant amendment to that bill.
It doesn't make any difference. When the rubber hit the road, he voted for the big banking industry and told his constituents to piss off. That's exactly what he did. You can't change that, Len. I mean, like him because...
I hear you.
Like him because he made the commute from D.C. to Delaware looking out the train window every night. Okay. Like him because he has a sad story, too. Okay. But he did not go to bat for the consumer, for his constituent. He, in fact, went to bat for the corporations. I mean, there's no way that that can be changed, Len. It can't be changed. And woulda, coulda, shoulda doesn't apply. It's what the man did. He's a six-term U.S. senator. That's a long, long time. He knows who he has to respond to, and it ain't the voters.
when you turn off your light. Go to bed with Mike Malloy every night on Nova M Radio.
It is 21 past the hour. Excuse me. Oh, well, you know, I've been following during the program tonight these reports from CBS4, a television station in Denver, about the possibility of an attempt to shoot Barack Obama by the usual type of suspect. There's a picture of him now out at CBS4's, or at RockyMountainNews.com. You can go there for the latest information. Also, they're blogging about it at Huffington Post and CBS4's own website is talking about it now. Apparently, there have been three or four, possibly more, men arrested. You ought to see the picture of the chief suspect, Theron Gartrell, 28 years old. A press conference is scheduled now for tomorrow, tomorrow afternoon, about this. If you've been following any of this online, because it's not being reported in police else, and that's probably a good idea. But it's also the Denver Post website, so you know you can find this through mainstream news sources. There was one part of it here that was a little bit weird. This is at the Huffington Post site. Andrew Romano of Newsweek magazine brings this amazing tidbit, quote, "The hotel where the pair of would-be assassins was staying, the Cherry Creek Hotel in Glendale, the hotel where Newsweek's entire convention team is staying, same thing. Apparently, crack Newsweek investigative reporter Mark Hosenball actually spied a couple of FBI agents lurking around the premises late last night. He, the Newsweek reporter, is looking into the matter now, and we will report back as soon as he hears more." So, again, if you want to check this out, it's Greg Mitchell's blog at Huffington Post, and it just went up about 2 hours ago. So you can check it out if you like. Oh, Lord have mercy. Jeff is calling from Louisville, Kentucky, listening on Sirius. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Listen, you kind of dissed Biden for supporting violence against women legislation, and you said, well, who can't get behind that? Well, one of the criteria that the Justice Department used to exclude so-called liberals from the Justice Department was if on their resume they had been a part of an organization that provided support for abused women.
Yeah, I guess I meant what normal person couldn't get behind that. Republicans feel that Republican men feel it's their right.
Well, it was a woman that set these criteria.
Oh, I know. She's doing the bidding of a Republican man. Republican women don't do anything unless they are ordered to do so. Republican men feel it's their right to beat their wives if they want to. So, you know, the order went down. Sure. Yeah, I'm aware of that. The point I was trying to make, I wasn't trying to disrespect Biden on that basis. What I said was, and maybe I need to clarify, it is not difficult for anyone, in this instance we're talking about Biden, backing something like, you know, stopping violence against women. I mean, that's you would think that any normal human being over the age of seven would be willing to do that, with the exception of Republicans. The qualifier here is a normal person. So my point was, while Biden may have sponsored or signed or worked on good legislation, good for him. I'm talking about specifically this bill regarding bankruptcy, where he did the bidding of the largest credit card company on earth until they were eaten by Bank America. rather than what would have been to you or me the bidding of our constituents. Protect us from these predatory lenders. That's all. He made it more difficult for people to, who genuinely were in trouble financially because of massive medical bills or loss of job or death of a breadwinner in the family. There's no distinction. You get behind in your bills, you're screwed, thanks to Joe Biden. That's the point I was trying to make.
Okay, well, I mean, on that subject, I think it's fair to say that in a capitalist society that loves capitalism, that bankruptcy is supposed to be there. That is the way that we take our chances. And if in a capitalist America you are willing to take a chance, it should not be held against you for the rest of your life.
Right.
And
well,
that's why we have bankruptcy.
Yeah,
I agree that was not right.
And of course, I'm not necessarily talking about taking a chance, Jeff. What I'm talking about is unexpected events in a person's life, like, you know, couldn't afford health insurance and wound up with a $700,000 medical bill that sends you into bankruptcy. And thanks to Joe Biden, it would now be, in some instances, impossible for someone to get relief from that. That's the point I was trying to make.
Your Day Screening with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 25 before the hour. Okay, as promised, let's just kick back here for a moment. I don't know how much of this I'm going to play, but I want you to hear some of this. It is the musicians on this are Woody Paul, Chrisman, J.P. Fitting, Cliff Carruthers, Garrett Soden, and Michael Coppy, who will be singing the lyrics. This is available as a free download. All you have to do is go to michaelcoppy.com, copy with a K, K-O-P-P-Y. And it's kind of, you know, I like it. I got it last week. He sent it to me, and I've been listening to it. I thought, you know, why not? This is The South's Gonna Rise Again.
Where I'm from don't much still exist, but Mister, it once did. 'Cause I remember some better years in Dixie as a kid. Before the shopping malls and the interstates, when passenger trains still stopped in town. But what's good before they don't want no more? They're tearing the old South down. Johnny Reb's statue still stands out in that lonesome, empty courthouse square. It's a ghost town now. At 5 o'clock, folks don't go down there. That big box store out on the county line, it must have broke that rebel's heart. He didn't fight for much, that's right. But he never damn died for Walmart. They're tearing the old South down. They're trampling on the beauty they found. But one great morning, Dixie's gonna wake up. And then the South's gonna rise again. The poor folks
lost their neighborhoods, and the suburbs ate the farms. They bragged about a new South, saying progress was the charm. So the TV stole the evenings we used to watch for a shooting star. Well, I know the cost of what's been lost, 'cause I can see the mess things are. We got a plague of blow-dried preachers, like salesmen out in their used car lots. They tighten up that Bible belt, hurts more with every notch. I guess collection plates on Sunday pay more than holding up a 7-Eleven. Squeezing more and more while the poor stay poor. Just tell them their reward's in heaven. They've been keeping the old South down. They've been bleaching out the soul and the sound. But one great morning, Dixie's gonna wake up. And then the South's gonna rise again. And them swaggering politicians down here, waving their flags and talking so tough, but ignoring what folks really need. And we've had just about enough. 'Cause fools we've been for way too long, but of brains we ain't bereft. No conservatives ever help folks live. It's time for a hard turn to the left. And there's no more splitting up black and white. We got the same blood and same heart. We've each walked miles in the other man's shoes. They won't push us apart. Just wanting jobs and schools and neighborhoods where all doors open wide. With a helping of brotherly love, we'll stand tall on the same side. 'Cause they've been beating the old South down, driving dirt boats underground. But one great morning, Dixie's gone. With Faulkner, Twain, and Welty, Tom Jefferson, and Martin King, our history is thinking in ways that never been. And what you call progress, mister, I know's a dead-end destiny. Keep on mouthing about your new son, but old Dixie's still home. They'll claim no harm was intended, but that sure as hell what came to pass when they replaced our glory with the tawdry and the crass. But my sleepy darling Dixie, she's stirring now, and in the end we'll lead the way to a brand new day when the South comes to rise up again. They've been tearing the old South down.
Yeah, I like that. San Francisco Chronicle calls this, quote, an ultra-left-wing Confederate call to arms, end quote. A DJ in Jacksonville, Florida, introduced the song by saying, quote, here's a song that says what every progressive Southerner thinks every single day, and it tells the truth, end quote. This is worth taking a look at. I don't know if you could understand the lyrics. Lyrics are great. Lyrics are great. And you can download this for free. Michael Coppy wants to get this out, and so do it. Yeah, he's got an album coming out. Yeah, maybe you'll buy the album, but this part is free. And the lyrics are there. The lyric sheet is there at his website, which is Michael, copy.com. Copy is K-O-P-P-Y. So I like that. I really do. That's, you know, I've said before, I've been living in the South. A lot of people wonder why. I've been living in the South for 45 years now and have lived with and seen a lot of all the negative things that, that Southern politics and Southern culture is notorious for. But I've also seen those things in Southern culture and Southern life that that are good, that are really good things, really good things. And when you get a band like this that comes along who can write music like this and play music like this, I think it's worth a listen. I really do. And the interesting play on words, the South's going to rise again, totally turning on its ass, what that meaning means when you see it over here in Mississippi or Alabama or up in the North Georgia mountains on the front of a pickup truck, some little Johnny Reb standing there giving you the finger, and the plate says, South's going to rise again, and then in the back it says, hell no, I ain't forgetting. I mean, this is just kind of, not kind of, it's an exact 180 from that. So anyway, enjoy. Hope you enjoyed it. I certainly did. Thanks to Michael Coppy for sending it in. And you can get your own copy if you want it just by going to his website. All right, back to your phone calls. Chuck is calling from New York City. Hey, Chuck.
Hi, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine.
Thanks for the good music. I needed that.
Yeah, I thought it was real nice.
I just wanted to call because I was touching on when you were talking earlier about Biden, and I see it among many of my progressive friends in discussing his candidacy, and I say, listen, what state is he from? It's a small state, but the business of Delaware is corporations.
Right,
it's a corporation state. And there are a million businesses incorporated in Delaware, which alone is amazing, but more than half of the Fortune 500 corporations hold their charter in the state of Delaware, and they do that because it's good for them, not because it's a bad place to be. And he's the senator that, you know, one of the two that represents that state and that industry.
Mm-hmm.
So it shouldn't be a surprise that the corporate ticket should include a Joe Biden.
Well, you know, since the fact that they are corporate Democrats, the fact that this is what the Democratic Party is, it is probably not as violent and full of bloodlust as the Republican Party. Maybe it is, but you know, this is what we got. Thanks, Chuck. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
So a new man in the White House with a familiar name said he had some fresh ideas, but it's worse now since he came from Texas to Washington. And he wants to fight with many, and he says it's not for oil. He sent out the National Guard to police the room from Baghdad to Washington.
Ten before the hour, thanks to Ian Huff, Billy Foster, and Ben Birch for technical expertise tonight. Also thanks to Sharon Gordy, our military affairs correspondent. The program's ethical advisors are Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf. The executive producer is Kathy Bay. A couple of little flashes here. This is from Damien, who writes, Mike, if you want to listen to the speakers unfiltered at the Democratic Convention, you must tune to C-SPAN. Any mention of the Iraq War, oil interests, or negative comments directed toward McCain, Bush, the network, CNN, ABC, NBC, and CBS, immediately cut to the commentators or to a commercial. This occurred during Governor McCaskill's and Leach's speech. I kept switching from C-SPAN to the networks, and it was like watching two different conventions. Yes, indeed. And this is from, I don't know who it's from. Malloy, this is scary stuff. One person in the story is arrested for just seeing the others being arrested. And the story is from colorado.indymedia.org. If you want some real coverage, you're going to have to go there. colorado.indymedia.org. Five community organizers from Kansas and Missouri were arrested this morning around 11 a.m. at the intersection of 12th and Clarkson in Denver. The group was walking down 12th Street, where they were detained and arrested by police and federal agents. A companion of the five, named Dave, said that one of the four was arrested while trying to give out the legal number for some lawyerly help to one of the others, while the fifth was arrested for observing the arrest from the front lawn of a house. The charge for four of the organizers was failure to obey a lawful order, and the fifth organizer was charged with criminal trespassing. The FBI, Denver Police Department's motorcycle unit, and Denver County Sheriff's Department were responsible for the snatching of these people and their transport away from the scene. According to Dave, the FBI searched the group's van, attempted to interrogate them at the scene. The organizers refused to answer questions and said they wanted a lawyer. Brian Vincente from the People's Law Project said the five would eventually be taken to the Temporary Arrestee Processing Center, or as it's euphemistically called, Gitmo on the Platte, to be processed and bonded out. Vincente said the bond could be around $500. Yeah, there will be a lot of that. The police and the authorities are, there is no shame anymore in deliberately and violently and without any reason. Really, without any reason. There's no shame in totally and completely interfering with a person's constitutional rights as guaranteed under the First Amendment. That has become a joke. That's become a joke, an absolute joke. If you are not willing to take your protesting ass into the pen, wherever the pen is set up, usually away from the entrance to the convention hall or the meeting hall or the rally point, whatever, get out of here. And if you come out of your pen, if you have the temerity to say, you know, I'm not a goat, I'm not a dog, I'm not a sheep, you know, I really do want to protest where people can see the protest, then your ass will be thrown in jail. I mean, very simply, very simply. And, you know, maybe we've come to that. Maybe that's absolutely necessary. When you hear about this, and then you hear about these four or five goons that were have been arrested now and charged with plotting to assassinate Barack Obama, you know, you have to think to yourself, well, okay, is there chicken and egg here? Will the government say, well, we have to stop protests? If we don't, then we get like these four racist goons who show up and decide they're going to assassinate a presidential candidate. I don't know. I really don't know. But I do know that the only thing that keeps a free society free, come on, you know this as well as I do, is to respect the rights in this free society anyway as guaranteed by the Constitution. If somebody is plotting to murder someone and the authorities find out about it, yeah, of course go arrest them. But if somebody is plotting to hand out leaflets or carry signs or give the middle finger to the Republican or the Democratic candidate, so, or in protest of U.S. policies, burn a flag. So, you know, so what? These people, these protesters are to be rounded up. And if anybody is watching, round them up too. And if anyone tries to give the arrestees a phone number to get some legal help, round them up too. And if anyone has the audacity to question why people are being stopped when they're not doing anything, arrest them too. Arrest all of them. Just grab them. We don't want no crap. We don't want no kind of activity in any way, shape, or form that will interfere with our militaristic police state here in Denver while these goddamn Democrats are in town. And we ain't going to allow it over here in St. Paul, Minnesota either while those goddamn Republicans are in town. Where do you think you live, boy? This is the United States of America. Don't you know we're in a perpetual state of code orange? Terrorists are all over the place. Okay. So I guess the rational response to all that, right, is to stop protesting. Stop demonstrating. Stop exercising First Amendment rights of lawful assembly to protest those actions of your government that you can no longer tolerate. Okay. That's it for tonight. Thanks for hanging out. We'll have some more of the Democratic Convention tomorrow night, I'm sure. In the meantime, take care, okay? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.